right? So what's the first thing I think of when I hear about $1 million? $1 million? Gee, you know, I could do a lot of good with $1 million, right? Give charity, support the yeshiva, right? Do a lot of things with $1 million. That's not for us to make that calculation. God would rather not have that charity, not have that yeshiva. He wants you to do what he wants you to do. He knows all the calculations. I'm sorry? No. So that's exactly the point. We're told that we must not give up our life for the other mitzvahs. In other words, we must rather transgress than give up our life for the other commands. But by the big three, the three cardinal sins, there God is telling us, I gave you your life, and I'm telling you, you must give up your life under these circumstances. Those three, right. So even if you have a lifetime to repent, you're right, you have a lifetime to repent, and you're going to need every minute of it, right? Because you were supposed to have given up your mitzvah when God said to do so. Question?
Yeah, and a lot of the martial arts, you're part of that tradition, is to, it's not exactly a bow, but you bend a little bit to the instructor, or when you went through the room, or when you're facing off to somebody, I took martial arts for a long time. What does that mean?
Okay, so the martial arts, I know that they asked Rabbi Soloveitchik about bowing by martial arts. This is an actual quote, by the way. Rabbi Soloveitchik said that, manufshach, any way you look at it, either the bowing is some type of tradition. Where did martial arts start? Martial arts began, it was an exercise that was initiated for the priests. The idol-worshipping priests, it was a way of providing them with some type of relaxation, right? And eventually it developed. Now, a lot of the bowing and a lot of the traditional and the martial arts, and a lot of the, who knows, the words you're saying, so on and so forth, it's one of two things. According to Rabbi Soloveitchik, it's either idol worship, right? Or it has some type of connection to idol worship, in which case it's certainly prohibited. Or to just go around bowing is silly, right? And that's also prohibited to be silly, right? So either way, you shouldn't be bowing when you're involved in martial arts, right? To bow for two people to meet each other, right? Let's say you make a trip to the Orient, right? And they have a tradition, when you meet each other, you bow to each other. Nothing wrong with that. You can bow to an individual, to curtsy. Right? You're allowed to bow to somebody, it's not a problem. If they're wearing a cross around their neck, that's a problem, right? But if you saw the Queen of England, if you went into the Queen of England, right? So you would bow. Don't they teach you before you go into the Queen? That somebody briefs you on what you're supposed to do. You don't just walk in and say, "Hey, Queenie, how's it going?" Right? Yeah. There was an ambassador from Israel to one of these countries that has a king, or one of these little countries that has a king. And this ambassador, you know, anybody get that job? Anyway, you know, this ambassador was kind of not real with it. And he had a meeting with the king, right? And he forgot the king's name. The king had one of these fancy Scandinavian names. And in the first day that he walked into the king, he goes, "Oh, hello, king." Because he didn't know what it was. He forgot what the king, what the guy's name is, right? But to go and bow out of respect over there, that's not a problem, right? The problem is to bow, like, you're not allowed to prostrate yourself, which means to go all the way down on your hands and knees. And in the times of the Torah, when they talk about bowing, they don't even mean bowing on your hands and knees. They mean going down. A bow was you were flat on the ground, on your stomach with spread eagle. That's how you bowed in the old days. That was because that's the ultimate sign of subjugation to somebody, right? So that's what's not allowed.
Yeah. But among Sephardic Jews, anybody here Sephardic?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Among Sephardic Jews are very, very into the like Rabbi Ovadia Yosef, right? They'll crowd around him and they'll kiss his hand and they'll bow and right. Stuff like that. Yeah. That's not prohibited. Okay, so if you guys want to initiate this yeshiva, that you should bow to the rabbis, you know, that's perfectly okay. We'll meet. I think it'll pass the committee.
Rabbi, is Rabbi Cassidy, the chief rabbi of the community, kiss his hand? It's not a part.
Right. That's part of the tradition. That's part of the tradition. Now let's go through the
martial arts. You've got to find the place you don't bow.
If you know for a fact that the bowing is not related to idol worship and the bowing is just respect, then you are theoretically allowed to do it. It's not prohibited. Right? It's not prohibited. You just have to make sure that you know, right, that you know for a fact that it's not related somehow to idol worship. Okay? That could be very severe if it is. Then it's a tradition that's rooted in idol worship and so on and so forth. Okay? So, martial arts in general is a question. You know, martial arts is a question whether or not... I had a friend, there was a guy here with the yeshiva, the black belt, and he went to one of the halakhic authorities to find out if he's allowed to teach martial arts. Right, because you're training people to do something which is not normally in the B'nai Brak community. You don't see much of that going on, right? You know, in Me'asharim, you don't expect
You know, you got a lot of black belts walking around it, but they're not that type of black, you know, black garkle, right? He's got his black garkle in Tehillim, right? You know, and not in karate. So he asked the halakhic authority, how did I give him an interesting answer? He told him he could teach it to Orthodox kids. He could teach it to kids from Torah observant families because he felt that it will be kind of kept under control. Whereas if you're teaching it to some kid who is kind of influenced by all sorts of things, that it could turn into something that's used for negative purposes. Right, that's what he told him. It didn't go over big. He tried it. I know a couple of guys who have tried starting up karate clinics here in Israel, right, to teach karate. You're not here, and these are the thing. It never really took off. Right, but is it halakhically permissible? Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's just finish what happens by other averas. This gets a little complicated. Let's say the non-Jew, the anti-Semite, pulls out a gun and tells you to either transgress Shabbos, eat a cheeseburger, shave with the razor, any prohibition. So the halacha is as follows. If you are in private, if it is done in private, then the halacha is that you transgress. Do whatever he tells you to do. You're in private. The classic example would be you're walking home from shul on Shabbos, right? And there's a non-Jew, the anti-Semite is sitting on his lawn having a beer, right? And he's got his shirt off, and his lawnmower is there. And as you walk by, he sees this, hey, Jew, mow my lawn. Now, to him, it wouldn't make a difference if it's Shabbos or if it's Tuesday afternoon, right? And he's got a gun on you. The halacha is you mow his lawn, right? There you transgress because it's theoretically in private. If it's in public, then it changes. Public meaning in front of 10 Jews. If it's in front of 10 Jews, then the halacha is as follows. If it's for his benefit, the non-Jew is doing it for his benefit, then the halacha is you transgress. If he's doing it because he wants you to transgress Torah, then the halacha is you must give up your life. You understand? The non-Jew sees a bunch of Jews walking back from shul on Shabbos. Right? Now, it's a Shabbos in January in New York. Right? So he quickly runs into the house and he brings out his lawnmower and tells you to mow his frozen lawn. Right? He's doing it for only one reason, because he wants to see a Jew transgress. At that point, if you're in public, you have the obligation. If you're in private, again, you would do it, not give up your life. If you're in public, then you have an obligation to give up your life, even though it's not one of the big three. Okay? Gets worse. If it's a time of religious persecution means that there's a collective a campaign of anti-Semitism where the anti-Semites are collectively in mass trying to get Jews to transgress, there you must give up your life, even in private, even for the most minor transgression. That means the non-Jew comes over to you, even for a rabbinic law, the non-Jew comes over to you and says, hey Jew, I want to see you transgress the Torah. Here's a pen. It's Shabbos. I want you to move this pen back and forth, which you're not allowed to do because it's mukzah. Mukzah being only a what? A rabbinic prohibition. Even there, you have to give up your life. If it's during the time of religious persecution, then you have to give up your life for anything.
Did they ask you to do things like that?
Oh, so the truth is like this. I am still not clear. It's a good question. To this day, it's not clear to me whether the Holocaust is considered religious persecution, because the Holocaust was not necessarily against it. The definition of religious persecution would theoretically be that if you renounce Torah, you live. Right? And in the Holocaust, that wasn't the case. In the Holocaust, even if you would have renounced Torah, they killed plenty of people who claimed not even to be Jewish. Right? They were willing to do anything. I'll eat as many porks as you want. Right? I'm not Jewish. It didn't matter. So I'm not convinced that's not religious persecution as much as Jewish persecution. That's the difference between the Spanish Inquisition and the Holocaust. Right? And you could have converted, or you could have embraced the church. And that's to a certain extent the difference between Purim and Hanukkah. Hanukkah was religious persecution, whereas Purim, Haman's goal on Purim, was just to annihilate the Jews. It didn't matter what they did. It had nothing to do with religion. Yeah, Mike?
So I guess when you said that it's in time of religious persecution, if he tells you to do something that's not, like, it's just for his own benefit,
During religious persecution? Yes. During religious persecution, no matter what he tells you to do, for whatever the circumstance, you must live your life. Yeah. What's your first name?
Mark.
Mark, right.
Yeah. Wasn't it on Purina where it wasn't that Haman wanted Mordechai to bend down to him?
According to the commentaries, the Medrash says that he was wearing some type of getchi around his neck. Right? But it's still the overall the overall decree was against the Jews, not against Judaism. Okay.